If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56david.com. Atlantic Coast Mortgage, Equal Housing Lender, NMLS 643-114.
720 WGN, the presses have stopped because we're making way for Corey Remore from the Chicago Tribune. I've stopped the presses for you, Corey. How are you?
Woo! Thank you, John. Woo! Don't want to make any mistakes. Thank you.
You're very, very welcome. Listen, I got so much Corey Remore stuff here. I have stacks and stacks and stacks of Remore reports. You have to have been working overtime. I mean, there's just a ton of stuff here. I mean, it's all good. Don't get me wrong.
You're right.
Yes, thank you, John. You're absolutely correct. Okay, now listen, I got it. We can move on to some other stuff, but this just cracked me up. Going to 1902 in a stage adaptation of The Wizard of Oz that was at the Grand Opera House in Chicago, and listen to this language of the review from the Chicago Tribune. This is in 1902. Of plot, there is only the faintest suggest, and of spoken dialogue, there is an unusually small amount. It is, in fact, but little different from a concert given in a costume, amid gorgeous scenery and accompanied by dancing and gesture. But it is enjoyable, satisfying to both eye and ear, and in every respect, an attractive summer season entertainment. You know, I couldn't have said it better myself. Holy mackerel! What is there
that
a word? That's just, it, I don't know. I mean, it's so, what's the word I'm looking for? Formal?
I mean, it was different times, right? They didn't have going on.
Well, I mean, it's not only that, but the construction of the sentences and the words that were used, and it is enjoyable, satisfying to both eye and ear. Have somebody from the Tribune put that in a review today and see what happens. Enjoyable to both.
We'll have to tell Chris Jones.
Yes, tell Chris Jones. Exactly. Tell Chris that. Pass that along. One thing must be noted that you have written about on this day in history. 1996. Come on, Corey. What happened on this date in 1996? Everybody.
The Bulls! The Chicago Bulls!
Yeah.
And they won the championship, and Michael Jordan was crowned the MVP. I believe that time it was against the Seattle Supersonics, correct? I think in 1996.
And 72 regular season victories.
Huge. Yeah, absolutely huge.
I remember it was approaching 70, if I remember correctly, and that was like an amount of victories that would be almost impossible for a team to achieve, but would the Bulls get there? And they got closer and closer, and eventually, obviously, did hit that 70 mark and end up with 72. And, you know, the Knicks just winning the other night and all the partying that's going on in New York now, and you take a look at this and what it was like around here and when the Bulls were on the roll and they had 72 wins and Jordan was MVP, man.
It was an incredible time to be a Chicagoan. I completely agree. It was awesome.
Was it ever? What else would you like to get to here? I mean, you've got so much. You got the vintage Chicago Tribune. You've got the day in history. What else you want? I mean, what part of this would you like to go to?
I'll go wherever you want to go. I'll see how much of it I can remember. Oh, one more thing about The Wizard of Oz. Did we mention that first performance, it was the world premiere of the stage version of The Wizard of Oz, and it took place in Chicago, and it went for 4 hours. That's the other thing I wanted to get into.
I didn't see that apart. 4 hours of The Wizard of Oz?
Yes, it went, the curtain rose at 8 p.m. and didn't fall until after midnight after that first performance. So that might explain that explanation a little bit. Also, I'm not so sure. I don't think the theater was air conditioned back then.
Oh, I don't think so.
I don't think so. So 4 hours with a lot of people in an air conditioned theater, that would make me a little cranky too, like the reviewer. So
I think so. More with Corey Rumor when we come back on 720 WGN. 720 WGN with John Landecker, 18 minutes after 8 o'clock, with Corey Rumor from the Chicago Tribune. Coming up after 8:30, Jim Ryan, who is the music journalist from Forbes, is going to join us, and originally scheduled to talk about the changes that will be happening at the Grammy Awards, and I'm sure we'll touch on that. But there is a big announcement tonight of the music that will be involved in the Obama Presidential Center opening, and he'll get into that after 8:30. Speaking of the Obama Presidential Center, Corey, you have written the Obama Presidential Center Guide, What to Know If You're Going. What should we know?
Well, first of all, you need to have tickets. There are a lot of areas outside the center, around the center, that are free that you can go and just hang out. And I love that part about it. But if you want to get in to the museum portion, if you want to see, you know, the different artifacts from Obama's presidency, you're going to need tickets. And the issue with that right now is, I looked at the website earlier today. I believe it's tickets.obama.org. And I think as of right now, the dates that are soonest available are in October. And I haven't seen anything to say, well, what happens if people cancel? Can you get tickets for an earlier date? So anyway, the first things first, make sure you get tickets before you go there, because they're going to be timed entry tickets as well. So you need to show up at a specific time. I know that's something a lot of the museums around here did during COVID and right after COVID. You had to show up and be there at a certain time in order to get in. And that's pretty common for a new experience in the city. Usually it's timed entry. And if you're wondering where it is, I have a map on the website. It's not that far south from the Museum of Science and Industry. So that's the general direction where Jackson Park is located. If you're unfamiliar with that part of the city, there is parking there. You can park on site. So you're going to have to pay to park. But once you get a ticket and get inside, you're going to be able to eat there. There's a Chicago Public Library branch there. There's art, as I mentioned, there are artifacts from the Obama presidency. So there's going to be a lot to see after it's open. And I think I have tickets for our family to go in late July. I think that was the earliest I could get them when it was first announced tickets were going to be available. So those are some of the important things to keep in mind.
And there's a full-size NBA regulation basketball court?
That is just the coolest. And I mean, it makes sense, right? Obama, yeah, during his presidency, it seemed like he was always playing a pickup game of basketball.
True, true.
So I think, unlike other presidential centers, this one is going to be really active. This one is going to be not kind of stodgy and dusty. Right. It's going to be all about getting there and doing things.
Yeah, you mentioned, I think it's in your article, it's almost 20 acres, and there's parts of it that don't cost anything. You can just go there and, as you said, hang out. 7 days a week you can do that, or are they policing that area, or does it open at a certain time and close at a certain time, or how does that work?
The grounds have an opening and closing time, but I think it's open 7 days a week. And it's the type of place where you can bring a lunch and sit on the lawn. You can visit. There are gardens there. I believe the Chicago Botanic Garden is doing some of the landscaping for the exterior of the site. I think there are parks there for kids to play in. It really seems like it's a place where the community is going to be drawn to, and you're part of it. It's not just, like I said, a museum. We're going to go look at a bunch of things. You are absolutely part of it. You can eat there. There are going to be dining options there. There's a restaurant there. There's going to be a gift shop on the inside. So it has some of the features you would expect out of a typical museum, and then a lot of other things that you wouldn't.
Yeah, and there is... When is the official opening of this Museum, the Presidential Center, rather, a better label. When is the official opening?
It will be take place, I believe, this Friday is the grand opening. There will be ceremonies, and I've seen several emails where they're saying, the organizers are saying, hey, don't worry, if you don't have a ticket to go to the museum that day, you can come to the grounds. It sounds like they're going to have big screens, and they're going to project, you know, whatever is going on as part of the speeches and the performers. So anybody who wants to be part of that experience, you can show up. You're not going to be able to get inside, but right, you can be part of it. And I think that that's a really fun idea, considering when Barack Obama found out he won the presidential election in 2008. You know, it just reminds me of Grant Park, with so many people gathered in Grant Park to celebrate. Yeah. So it sounds like it'll be a similar environment to that on Friday.
And by the way, they're also going to be streaming the grand opening events. So you'll be able to watch all of that, including the whole artists who are going to be performing.
Right.
That's awesome.
Which we'll get into with Jim from the Forbes magazine, doing the music journalist from Jim Ryan from Forbes magazine. We'll talk about in just a few minutes the announced lineup, and he'll probably have more details on exactly how all that's going to work, because on paper it's pretty darn impressive, I gotta say, what they've got and that's, you know, shouldn't be a surprise, quite frankly.
Right. It's kind of par for the course, but I think it's something, you know, we all look for good news and happy things, and we want to celebrate, right? This is going to be a big piece of the city. And I know other news organizations that aren't from the city have kind of poo-pooed, you know, the architecture of the building. They haven't been excited about it. But I think it's going to be a great thing for our city. And hey, anything that brings people to Chicago, especially a part of Chicago people might not normally go to, you know, it's outside of the loop, I think that that's a really great thing for the city.
You know, I can understand the whole architecture thing. As a matter of fact, it just occurred to me while you were talking that anytime any new architecture is applied to a community, there are unbelievable amounts of criticism. Let's talk about Soldier Field.
Yep.
Okay. Do we have to?
Well, I mean, you remember when all of that was happening and it looked like a spaceship?
The flying saucer.
The flying saucer and all of that. I mean.
Oh, and the Picasso. The Picasso in Daly Plaza.
Oh, my God. Yeah, exactly.
And nobody liked it, and now we can't imagine the city without it, right?
Right. You know, and I got to say, and I haven't spent a lot of time investigating this, but from what I've seen of the Obama Center, the building itself, this is going to sound, it almost looks like one of the movable cubes from Star Wars. I mean, if you remember when the boom, 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 they're coming down. I mean, doesn't it look like that a little bit? I mean, it's got that kind of shape to it.
Yes.
Yeah. And I'm not surprised that people criticize it. That's just part and parcel of, I think, providing a new building and an architecture, and especially when it's connected to something iconic and of major importance, such as, you know, Bears or, as you say, Picasso.
And, of course, with the Bears case, their people supervised all of that.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
They were in charge from start to finish. So.
And what a great job they've done.
No comment.
They'll be able to fly that top part of the
saucer section.
Fly the saucer part over to Indiana. So it'll cut down on. Hey, Corey, do you really think the Bears are going to move? Corey? Did you go?
I'm sorry. There I am.
Do you really think the Bears are going to move?
Oh, my goodness. Oh, this is a $100 million question. I hope they don't.
Well,
no, that question's worth a lot more than $100 million. Trust us. Lot more than $100 million.
You know, I just get this feeling that for decades we've been played. Decades and decades and decades we've been played. They dangle this thing in front of us like a carrot on a stick.
Remember, their whole thing was they wanted a new stadium and they wanted to build stuff around it.
Mm.
Now, at Soldier Field, even if Friends of the Park hadn't said anything, the whole neighborhood around that place is already built.
Yes, it is.
So, okay, unless you're going to do landfill and build out onto Lake Michigan itself, where are you going to do all this stuff? Where are you going to put parking? Because, you know, that's going to be a problem. Right?
Yep. Well, all that will reveal itself in the future because we have come to the conclusion of Corey Moore's Tuesday appearance on the John Landecker program. And always fantastic, Corey. And people can get avail themselves of your efforts at the Chicago Tribune by doing what?
Oh, my gosh. Just go to chicagotribune.com/newsletters. You can pick the one that says Vintage Chicago Tribune. It gets sent out every Thursday to you. It's totally free. Then you can read some of what I write about. And then every day, as John mentioned earlier, I put together something called Today in Chicago History, and that's on the Tribune's website.
And you do just a great job, too. Keep it up.
Oh,
thank you.
You do, too, John. Thank you.
Oh, golly, please. Oh, you do go on.
each of you say thank you to the other.
Thank you, Corey. I'll talk to you again next week.